What is wrong with Clayton Kershaw? Everybody's freaking out over the best pitcher in baseball. We'll tell you if it's warranted. It's Friday, May 22nd. Happy Friday, people. Getting ready for a long weekend. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melchior and Scott White. So we're off Monday. How about that?
How about that?
It's pretty cool.
Little rest at the quarter pole of the season.
But we're not going to abandon you listeners. We're going to record a mailbag show later today and air it on Monday. No need to send your emails now. It's too late. You're too late. But we will have some content for you on Monday if you want to take a listen on your three-day weekend. How you guys doing? How's your Friday going so far?
So far, so good for me.
I'm tired. I'm tired, Adam. This three-day weekend's coming at the right time.
Good. Perfect, perfect.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk about Kershaw. Kyle Hendricks threw a complete game shutout. Jacob deGrom and Julio Teheran were awesome. We have some more music-themed emails. Of course, we'll talk DFS a little bit later. Most added, most dropped, some closers. And who's worth dropping, who's worth stashing right now? Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And if you don't already, follow us on Twitter, at CBS Scott White. Wait, right?
Yes.
At Al Melk, CBS, Al M-E-L-C.
That's right.
I know. And at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, and that is also right. Okay.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw. Everything seems to fall apart late in games for him. And it's not like he's been so bad, but now he's got a 4.32 ERA, 2-3 record, ton of strikeouts, 7 1/3, 7 hits, 4 runs yesterday. 2 earned runs through the first 7 innings. Okay, is he still clearly the number one pitcher in fantasy?
I'm not so sure.
Oh,
whoa. No. Ow.
Boo. Okay, why not? Why are you not sure?
Well,
other than the obvious, why you're not sure. You can't be sure of anyone being that much better than anyone else, but.
That's right. In this world, there are no guarantees.
Yes.
But, you know, it's not like there are no contenders. I mean, he was the easy, you know, obvious pick going into the season because of the track record of the last several years. But, you know, now that he's been something a little less than what we're accustomed to, I think Felix and Max Scherzer and, you know, maybe even Corey Kluber, David Price, I think they're all in that conversation.
Okay. So it seems like just the obvious is the only reason you're down on Kershaw. Not as much his performance, but the fact that there are a lot of other good pitchers out there, and maybe he doesn't stand out quite as much as thought he did.
Very well put. I'm a little concerned, you know, with the home runs. I mean, I understand Madison Bumgarner. You can't contain him, but just generally, and I remember looking into it a week or two ago, and it did seem like he was locating a little higher in the zone. I haven't checked on it recently.
But at the same time, I mean, where you're locating in the zone, you have control over that. It's something you can fix.
Well, it just sort of reminds me of, and look, I'm not going to disagree with you on that, but it just sort of reminds me last year when C.J. Wilson couldn't throw strikes, and he, some reporter, you know, pointed out that he was below a 60% strikes thrown rate. You say, okay, Oh, why didn't I think of that? I'll go change that. So it's easier said than done sometimes.
And I kind of feel like it's a nitpicky thing to begin with, because his home run rate, it's still below average. It's not like he's allowing home runs left and right. It's a little higher than we're used to seeing it from him. But I just feel like he's going through something kind of like Corey Kluber did a few starts ago, where, you know, obviously the stuff is still amazing. He has the highest strikeout rate of his career, which is saying a lot, considering it's Clayton Kershaw. But his hit rate is higher also, and just seems like a luck thing. And I understand we're used to seeing a sub-2 ERA from Clayton Kershaw, so 4 runs in 7 innings, that seems like a bad start. But it's a fine line between 4 runs and 2 runs sometimes, especially when you have the peripherals like Kershaw does, and I feel like most of his starts individually I would classify as a good start. The earned runs is the only thing that works against him as far as that goes.
And it's really this weird thing that once he gets to the 7th and the 8th inning especially, he either starts struggling or his bullpen hasn't really picked him up, which was the case last night. But his ERA in the 7th inning is 11.25 in 4 innings pitched. Kershaw's ERA in the 8th inning is 54 And he's only recorded two outs so far. He's given up four hits and four runs and two outs in two games that he's pitched into the eighth inning. So that's a little bit different. But I do think that so far, just about every high-end pitcher that we've worried about has bounced back, right?
Yep.
I mean, Lester has, Kluber has, Bumgarner has, DeGrom appears to have, Sale
maybe
has.
Maybe not Strasburg, but...
Strasburg, but he's clearly got a little bit of a physical health issue going on here. So I mean, and even Al saying that he might not be far and away number one, I still think everybody's confident that he will be a great, great pitcher.
Yeah, and I haven't moved him in my rankings yet either, and I won't today in light of last night's start.
We're going to help you get ready for Fantasy Week 7 in a little bit and help you set your lineup in FanDuel and any DFS you might be playing. That's going to be late in the show as usual. Let's talk about more standouts from yesterday. Kyle Hendricks, 39% owned, complete game shutout at San Diego. This was by far his best start. He failed to pitch six innings in each of his five previous starts. What do you think about Kyle Hendricks?
I think he's came in this season a little bit overrated, but it's not to say that he can't be, you know, can't be really useful. I can't see starting him in one start weeks in a standard mixed league. There's just too many similar or superior options, but I'd have a hard time not starting him in a two start week. So I feel like that's the niche that he fills.
Scott, are you completely cool with Jacob deGrom at this point? Total stud last night. Wow.
I was never uncool with Jacob deGrom. So, I mean, this most recent start, I think he reminded everyone just how good he is.
Eight innings, one hit, no runs, no walks, and 11 strikeouts against the Cardinals. One thing to keep in mind with deGrom is last year he had a 3.64 ERA on the road. This year it's 6.75 in three road starts. But he is at home, like he's like Jose Fernandez at Marlins Park. He's 5-1 with a 1.13 ERA last year at home. Oh no, that's this year. And last year, 1.70 ERA at home. So, DeGrom might not be amazing on the road, but he is quite amazing at home. All right, guys, let's talk Julio Teheran. Boy, I did not see this coming. He was terrific against the Brewers. Eight strikeouts in seven innings, only two hits, one earned run, one walk. I sat him in all my leagues. And, yes, I regret it. Now, I think four starts ago, he had a really good start, and then not so good after that. What do you think of Teheran right now?
Well, again, I'm looking at the game log now, and really, I mean, the month of May, that start you're thinking of was his first one of the month against the Reds, six shutout innings, then a bad start against the Nationals, a start against the Marlins we talked about, that wasn't great, where he kind of scattered a lot of hits, and it wasn't bad, it just wasn't great, and then this, you know, excellent start against the Brewers. But the constant since late April is just a lot of swings and misses. So he's back to that. And I think he's back pretty much to who he was last year, a guy that can give you strikeouts, could be a home run risk in certain road venues, but generally he's going to be very reliable.
Oh, well, that is very encouraging. Who else stood out to you guys yesterday? We had 12 games on the schedule.
The sketch.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm going to wait until the mailbag show, which we're recording after this show, but airing Monday. I have a movie review for Pitch Perfect 2, which I saw yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were you as pleased with Chris, or do you not want to reveal
anything? No, I want to bring it up with Chris.
Okay.
But, spoiler alert, I didn't like it as much as Chris did.
Oh.
But we'll talk it out. We'll talk it out on the show.
Oh, burn.
All right. Who else stood
out
to you?
How about a negative standout?
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Shoemaker.
Ew.
DTM.
Yeah. DTM and WT, you know what? Matt Shoemaker.
You know, and he in the recap, there were, you know, quotes from him talking about how he's just not locating very well and didn't really sort of provide any insight as to why or, you know, what he might do differently. And maybe that's not good for the team for him to do that. But I know he doesn't play for the Reds. But, yeah, whatever it is, you know, it looks like it's turned midnight and he's a pumpkin again. After last year, he, you know, was far better than anybody expected.
I'd be inclined to agree with you if there was something going on with him other than the ridiculously high home run rate. because he struck out in seven and seven innings in his last start, his best start of the season. He struck out 10 and seven in a third innings, a couple starts before that. Very few walks like last year. That's his main strength. It's just he's getting pounded with the long ball. And I mean, obviously I'm concerned. I'm not trusting in him right now. But it seems like something where, I mean, because he wasn't having this much trouble with it last year, it does seem like a location thing. So I can't say for sure he's going to turn it around. I'd probably need to see him put together three or four great starts in a row before I got him back in my lineup, but I can't go as far as to say he's dead to me.
You know what? This is so, and this is really hitting me just now, and I don't know why it hasn't earlier. This is so reminiscent to me of last year's Marco Estrada.
Yeah. Now, as I was saying it, I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, cause just, you know, very similar type of pitcher, not high velocity, but good strikeout rate nonetheless, good control, but you knew that the fly ball rate was a potential problem. And for Estrada, for a couple seasons, it wasn't. And then it, you know, kind of came home to roost last year and, you know, won't necessarily end the same way that it has with Estrada, but it's the same story so far.
Yeah. That's fair.
So is he droppable, Matt Shoemaker? 80% owned.
It sounds like I was saying definitely yes.
Yeah, 12-team mixed for sure. Yeah, probably not. Probably not in 14 yet.
I have him. I had him 66th in my starting pitcher rankings prior to this start. In 12-team leagues, probably about 80 starting pitchers are owned. You get down to the 80 range for me. It's like C.J. Wilson, Alfredo Simon, Wei-Yin Chen. Matt Latos is around there. I'd still rather have Shoemaker than those guys. So he's going to move down in my rankings some, but not quite that far.
Would you rather have Shoemaker or Buchholz?
I think it's safe to say Buchholz at this point.
Yeah, me too. That's a good one. And it's funny, Scott, that you made 80 sort of the cutoff there, because before the start I had Shoemaker ranked 81st. So I was already pretty low on him.
Hey, Lucas Duda homered twice yesterday. And,
both off lefties.
Yeah, he's raking against lefties this year. So I think there are a lot of encouraging signs here with Duda, who's the number 14 first baseman in points leagues, number 15 in Roto. Last week, Scott called Duda a buy low candidate. And this year against lefties, he's batting .409 with four home runs and 44 at bats. Last year, .180 with two home runs and 111 at bats.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is quite a turnaround.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Big time. Okay. Give me your thoughts on Lucas Duda.
Well, the biggest concern, if I can even call it that, this season is just because he changed his approach to being a more all field hitter, that where the power wasn't going to come back, he was going to approach 30 home runs. Yeah, I might have been a little too negative about that, given that he can crush lefties out of the park.
Well, he only has, what does he have, 5 home runs this year.
Yeah.
But he's batting .302. Last year, Duda was a .253 hitter.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, just in terms of overall value, that it matters that much if he comes close to 30 home runs, because he is hitting for such a higher average, and I think he can sustain it. But I do think, I mean, this has to be a sign that if he's not going to be a 30 homer hitter, I think he should be in the, you know, by end of the season, the 2025 range.
Duda or Hosmer?
Duda.
Those guys are probably right next to each other for me.
Not quite. Close. In the same neighborhood. Same zip code.
Yeah, I moved Hosmer up a good bit, it looks like.
They're friends. Went to the same school. I'm done with this.
I think I would take Hosmer, but I'm not a downer on Duda by any means. He's must start, I feel like.
You're not a downer on Duda, but you are high on Hosmer.
I am high on Hosmer, yes sir.
Duda or Carlos Santana?
Carlos Santana.
Carlos Santana.
You're making me sound like a downer on Duda.
No, I'm asking good players here. Now, yes, Santana, I have him three down today because he's been really bad. But this guy is a second-half player. I mean, we're not really going to get into buy low, sell high today, I don't think. We can try to do that on most Fridays. I don't think we'll do it today. But I would consider Carlos Santana a buy low candidate. If you just look at what he did in 2012 and 2014 last year in the second half, I mean, he becomes, like, I don't want to say elite, but maybe just below that in this after the All-Star break and maybe even before that. So do you guys feel the same way about Santana?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think I could summarize by saying Scott is down on Duda. He's high on Hosmer, and he's sanguine about Santana.
Sanguine.
Very
good.
Yeah,
it's only alliterative.
First sanguine mention on this podcast ever. I don't think that word has ever been said.
It won't be said again.
You never know.
It's been retired.
Hey, is Sean Tolleson the Rangers closer?
Certainly looks that way. They haven't. I think the one time they've used Feliz since saying all the roles were up for grabs was he entered the seventh inning and pitched the eighth in a game they were trailing, and Tolleson's gotten the two save opportunities on back-to-back days and converted them both. So yeah, I think that's fair to say at this point.
Hey, is Brad Ziegler the Diamondbacks closer?
That is not so fair to say. He got the save yesterday as well as he's been just like he's been pitching all year. He's gotten the ERA right around one, struck out two in a perfect inning. But prior to that game, Chip Hale, the Diamondbacks manager, was saying he was really impressed with what Burgos had done in getting the saves Monday and Tuesday, which was kind of a strange scenario because Ziegler was needed earlier in an extra inning game on Monday, and then because he pitched two innings in that appearance, he was unavailable Tuesday. So it wasn't clear like Burgos was becoming the closer then, but Hale said he was impressed with what he did there and that he's going to have some tough decisions to make in the ninth going forward. Well, when Burgos, so yesterday was Thursday. On Wednesday, when Burgos pitched, he threw. Oh, hang on a second. I'm not sure he pitched Wednesday. He had worked like four times in 5 days. In the most recent one, he threw 20 something pitches.
Yeah, Wednesday I think was the 6-1 game, and Ziegler came in the ninth in a non-save situation.
Well, I was talking about Burgos.
Yes, I don't think Burgos pitched on Wednesday.
Okay. Okay.
I think he pitched on Tuesday. Ziegler came in the ninth on Wednesday, and then Ziegler got the save on Thursday.
All right. Well, it seemed like from the workload Burgos had gotten already this week that he might not have been available for Thursday's games, but if it was a second day off in a row...
Let me double check on that.
It's still really dicey because he didn't pitch at all in this game, which even if he's the backup closer, you would think he would pitch in a close game.
It's as obvious now that you'd rather have Tolleson than either of the Diamondbacks guys.
Yes, I think in trying to figure out the Diamondbacks bullpen situation, it's so confusing right now. And it's not a great situation for saves anyway. So, yeah, Tolleson would be the better choice.
Yeah, Burgos pitched on the 18th and the 19th, I'm sorry. So he did not pitch Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay. I was just going to say, I like Tolleson better than either Ziegler or Burgos, so... In a way, if that those are my choices, it doesn't really matter what happens in Arizona for me.
And Tolleson's only 19% owned. And Scott White, do you have a standout from yesterday? You don't have to.
I kind of feel like we need to talk a little about what Ryan Howard is doing because suddenly he's on pace for 34 home runs.
Yeah, we talked about him yesterday and kind of dismissed him, mostly because even with his hot month of May, he was. I look it up. What was he like? The number 18 first baseman or something like that. You know, like it wasn't even that good relative to the position. But, he homered again yesterday at Coors Field.
Well, my 18th ranked first baseman is my personal 18th ranked first baseman is Lucas Duda. So I think 18th at first base means something.
Okay. Yeah. Last 21 days before yesterday. He was 17th in points, 13th in Roto over the last 21 days with a .324 batting average, 4 home runs, 10 RBI, 4 walks, and 19 strikeouts. So yeah, go ahead, talk about Ryan Howard, 37% owned.
I don't know that I disagree with where you guys settled yesterday that, it doesn't mean anything. And there's nothing encouraging in the underlying stats. And he hasn't been a big-time power hitter since he hit 33 home runs in 2011, which I think was before the Achilles injury that kind of messed things up for him. But at the same time, he does have some raw power, and that's always valuable in a rotisserie league. So I'm not going to completely dismiss him. I think at this point I would take Howard over somebody like Matt Adams, who just isn't playing consistently and isn't doing much when he does play.
Gosh, I'm trying to look it up now, but I think Howard got hot at some point last year for a pretty prolonged stretch.
Yeah.
But then was just completely awful aside from that stretch.
That sounds about right. But at the same time, Howard had 95 RBI last year.
Yeah.
He had a 690 OPS, which is terrible, but he had drove in 95 runs. And I know that's not a predictor stat by any stretch of the imagination, but it shows that there is – what does it show? What does it show? It shows he in the batting in the middle of the Phillies lineup, he can still be somewhat productive.
What happened to Matt Adams? I remember when he was good. And emerging.
It's, I don't know, it's the Alan Craig sinkhole or something like that.
Interesting. hey, let's get musical. Email
so
of the day.
The Curse of Pujols.
There you go. The Cardinals have been so bad since he left. Email of the day is from Aaron in Kenosha. Where is Kenosha?
Wisconsin, near the Illinois border.
Oh, okay.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the setting for That 70s Show.
Maybe. I know that it's in Wisconsin. They don't scream, "Hello, Kenosha!" in
all
the
right,
opening credits. Clark Addison in Waveland. Cubs, Wrigley Streets. I can't get Don Henley's Heart of the Matter out of my head when I see the name Mariznick. So for the chorus, instead of forgiveness, just put in Mariznick. And then even if you don't love me anymore, works even better when he's slumping. All right, I like that. Here's our tweet of the day.
It takes a song that I absolutely despise and makes it tolerable.
Oh, I like that song, Al.
Well, I've got a real bias against Don Henley.
Why?
Just can't stand him.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you don't like the Eagles. That's just... Yeah. Of all the things that I don't like, you know, like Star Wars, Big Lebowski, whatever, you're not liking the Eagles is almost as credibility harming as anything that I don't like.
If I have to like the Eagles to be credible, then I will gladly be... Incredible.
Yeah, wait a
second. Incredible.
Adam.
Not incredible.
Do you not like the Big Lebowski because you like the Eagles?
No.
Because the dude hates the Eagles.
Oh,
I just wondered if that kind
of
created a bias there.
And quite honestly, I have to watch the Big Lebowski again. I didn't like it the first time I saw it, but I should give it another chance, I think.
I think it would make my overrated movies list, which doesn't mean it's a bad movie.
Right. Yeah,
it just
people are obsessed with it.
Yeah, that it goes a little far, I think.
All right, back to yesterday's Queen reference. Tweet of the day number one is from Keith Tucker. Could you say that Carlos Rodon's control is easy come, easy go, and his fastball is a little high, a little low?
That's great.
Hashtag I like this hashtag podcast sing along. And tweet of the day number two is from Nicholas Kroll. I don't know where this came from. But I like the idea. I propose that one person on each show is ejected for a trivial matter decided on by Adam. So, I don't know if that was for Bryce Harper, maybe. Will Smith yesterday was cheating. But I will eject one of you guys. If I see fit. Now, if you're not playing on FanDuel, I don't know what you're waiting for. Every day you don't play is a day that you could have been winning some money. Entry fees start at just $1, and there's no season-long commitment. So it's not like you go on FanDuel and you have to really commit. Just try it out for a little bit, see how you like it. I guarantee you're going to like FanDuel. I got hooked last year. I play every single night. So we got an offer code for you to use if you want to get the bonus of up to $200 that gets earned as you play. The offer code has changed. It used to be CBS, now it's CBS Pod. Go to FanDuel.com, use the offer code CBS Pod, and FanDuel is home to more winners than any other daily fantasy site. Join the over 1 million people who have already won cash, including the three of us on this podcast. More DFS a little bit later. All right, I just want to look at the fringy starting pitchers. We'll pick up the pace a little bit here. Buchholz, Shoemaker, I'll separate these into two groups, and we'll start with 60% owned or more. Buchholz, another good start for a Red Sox pitcher with the new pitching coach. Matt Shoemaker, Archie Bradley, who was bad. Jay Happ, who was bad and rain-shortened start. Matt Latos is terrible. Jesse Chavez has a 289 ERA, and he's only 60% owned and almost a strikeout per inning. And Chris Tillman, who was okay, three walks, walking a lot of guys. And he's 60% owned, and he threw three innings because of a rain delay. So give me your top three from that group, guys.
Boy, I have to, huh? Happ and Buchholz will make the cut. Now who?
I mean, how can you go away from Chavez? He's been so much better than the rest.
Actually, I was leaving him out. So yeah, no, Chavez definitely fills that out. So in fact, yeah, I'll put him at the top. Chavez, Hap, Buchholz.
I would actually leave. I would leave Chavez out in Roto. Just don't feel like the upside's high enough for that format. But I like that he's relief pitcher eligible, and he's a decent starter. I would still have Shoemaker in my top three. I actually like the three you list at the top three in ownership percentage. Buchholz, Shoemaker, and Bradley in that order.
Do you feel like Chris Tillman is going to turn things around? This is a pitcher who can get pretty hot for like half a season.
It seems like that half is the second half.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm remembering that right. I know it was last year.
And I think 2 or 3 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, 3 years ago. And then we had high expectations for Tillman. It didn't work out.
But so he could. He is maddeningly inconsistent.
I feel like even if he does that, he's in a class of pitchers, kind of like Al was putting Kyle Hendricks in, where I don't know that I'd ever really be excited to start him in a one-star week, but a two-star week, he would be too good to sit, assuming he does get to that point.
Yeah.
Just because the disappointment last year was he's not any kind of strikeout pitcher. He's below average as far as that goes. So, you know, at his best, he can pitch deep into games, win some games for with an Orioles lineup behind him, but there's not much else there.
And we'll give you some two-star pitchers to consider for next week. R.A. Dickey, I've got this theory with R.A. Dickey that he never has three bad starts in a row, which is why I avoided the Angels in DFS yesterday. And he threw a complete game, gave up 4 runs. He did give up 2 home runs. It wasn't that great of a start for Dickey. Kyle Hendricks with the complete game shutout. Alex Colome and Jaime Garcia, who is 28% owned. Dickey, Hendricks, Colome, Garcia. Would you prefer any of these four to your top three in the previous list?
That would mean over Buchholz, possibly Hendricks. Yeah. I think if I've got a two-star Hendricks and a two-star Buchholz, I'm definitely trusting the two-star Hendricks more.
Was Buchholz your number one from the last list?
He was my number three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was saying, would he make the top three?
Well, I have a question for Al about Colome, because...
Colome!
Colome, sorry.
No, it's all right. I was Steve Winwooding it. I wasn't correct.
Yeah. Another song I don't know.
Whoa, really?
Really.
Oh, man. You were born in the 80s, man. I don't know.
I was born in the 80s, yes. I was... Was that song in the 80s?
Is that a 70s or 80s?
Early
song?
80s.
Yeah. Okay.
But
the 80s
still,
ended
80s,
and I was
80s
6
culture.
Years old. I was listening to like Sesame Street.
Yeah,
songs.
That would have been an oldie for you at that point, yeah.
So Al, you don't like Alex Colome at all.
I do like Steve Winwood, but yeah, not so high on Colome.
And I feel like in the beginning it was, he didn't show enough command control in the minors. And he has 3 walks in 24 innings, a rate of 1.1 per nine. He was really awful the 2 starts before this one, but it wasn't because of that flaw that he apparently had. So how do you feel about him now?
Well, yeah, you raise a really good point, because I've kind of looked at the previous 2 starts as confirmation of the fact that I don't trust him. But, I'll admit I need to give it a deeper look. Because I didn't like him going into the 3rd start.
Yeah.
And then the 3rd and 4th starts were bad. I'm like, oh, okay. I have changed my mind.
He did allow 4 home runs in one of those starts, which is not something that he seemed to have an issue with.
But Colome hasn't
pitched. But it was only 4 he's allowed.
He hasn't pitched more than 5 innings yet.
Yeah, that would be my, I'm not rushing to pick him up just because he bounced back from those 2 bad starts, because he still has all of 0 quality starts.
Right.
5. But I do think there's a little more here than the ERA right now shows. He also hasn't thrown 100 pitches in a game yet, so the Rays seem to be treating him with kid gloves.
Hey, congratulations to the Rays, by the way, for being in first place. I think they're terrible, and this will end, but...
Is there a good team in the AL?
No, no. I to be honest with you, I think Baltimore will rise as the cream of the crop, but...
Fly, Orioles, fly.
I don't buy it with the Rays, but very impressive. They lose Joe Maddon, they lose Andrew Friedman, and I have to correct myself on Colomé. He had one start of six innings, but that was 11 hits, 8 runs, and those 4 home runs against the Yankees. Other than that, he hasn't pitched more than 5. Jaime Garcia made the start. Look, 2 runs in 7 innings. Is anyone interested in him?
I haven't pursued him, but by the same token, if he, you know, came up, I'm trying to remember if he's a 2-start guy this coming week. I don't think he is. So what I was going to say is if he came up for a 2-start week, and no, he is not a 2-start pitcher next week, I would consider him. And, you know, Scott, you know, you've said this often, so I'm pretty much cribbing your take on him, but he's good when he's healthy. He just doesn't stay healthy more than a few weeks at a time, it seems.
But Al,
he's healthy now, so if he came up as a 2-start guy, I'd stream him in.
I just don't really think he's that good, though. I mean, he's kind of a high whip guy, and Garcia hasn't had an ERA below 3.56 since 2010.
No, he's not an especially high ceiling guy, but he's a high floor guy. The good Chris Tillman we're talking about, I think, is in the same ballpark as what Jaime Garcia is on those rare occasions he's healthy.
Al, you write the pitching planner. What do we call it now?
Rotation roundup.
The rotation roundup. I'm sorry. And I read it. I really do. I just forgot what it's called.
You skip over the title.
I name every 2-star pitcher in week 7. Go. Or week 8. And
can
and their
cheat?
Matchups.
Because I just happen to have that
nope.
page open.
No, you have to do it off the top of your head.
Oh, jeez.
Or how many are there? Do you know that?
Off the top of my head, no. I know the ones I've written about.
Okay, let's see if you can name, just for fun, Roenis Elias' matchups.
Ooh. Versus Atlanta is the second one, is that right?
False.
Okay. Off to a great start here.
He's at Tampa Bay and home against Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
How about Chase Anderson? 2 starts. I'll give you a hint. They're both road starts.
I'm going to do badly at this.
Both road starts in the NL Central.
At Milwaukee, at St. Louis.
Oh, you're such a genius. Al Melchior, ladies and gentlemen. Well done.
I needed the hint, though.
Injuries, news, and notes. Not a lot of injury stuff to talk about. Kevin Plawecki likely going to be sent down when Travis d'Arnaud returns, which isn't too far away. Coco Crisp does not know if he'll be back this season due to his neck injury. That stinks. Alex Guerrero has started 5 games in a row, but only one of them at third base. Not sure what that means when the outfielders get healthy. Also, the Dodgers have been shut out 3 times in a row. That's kind of crazy. Will Smith Will Smith was ejected for having rosin and sunscreen on his forearm, and then he was really mad about it, but really, he should have been yelling at himself. Justin Morneau, probably not going to come off the 7-day concussion DL when he's eligible, but it might not be much longer than that. Albert Pujols sat with the hand injury. Devin Travis is on the DL with shoulder inflammation. That's probably the biggest news. Shane Victorino was scratched with a sore calf. Pablo Sandoval pinch hit. He's close to returning. Drew Smyly is going to rehab for 2 months. Gene Segura could be back Monday. Chris Johnson could be back Thursday. And as we mentioned earlier in the week, Rusney Castillo seems like he should be called up fairly soon. And he's still out there in some leagues, so you want to get him. So Castillo, did he steal bases last year? Because he's running in the minors.
Yeah. I mean, he hardly played last year, but I think he had 3 steals for the 33. I think he played 10 games and had like 3 steals.
That's pretty good. I didn't realize he was a power speed guy.
He is. There's nothing Rusney Castillo can't do, Adam.
Except
he does everything.
Get called up.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do most added, most dropped, and we'll look a little bit more into it. We haven't talked about Steve Pierce yet.
No.
My, oh my. But let's do most added first.
Okay.
We're talking Lance McCullers.
That's not bad.
True Colors.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, it was a suggestion from a listener. He's number 1.
I had a friend in college who used to do stuff like this and, you know, sing songs, but the thing is he was so off on the melody, nobody could ever tell what the song was.
I can at least carry a tune a little bit. So Lance McCullers is number 1 after, interesting start that we broke down on Tuesday. He'll start again this weekend, and then you should have a better idea what you want to do with him. Delino DeShields is number 2. Brandon Crawford is number 3. He's 86% owned. Chris Young is number 4. He pitches tonight. Baltimore's Mike Wright will pitch this weekend. He's number 5. Enrique Burgos, 6. Jaime Garcia, 7. Brandon Belt, 8. Let's go with the top 8. McCullers, DeShields, Crawford, Chris Young, Mike Wright, Enrique Burgos, Jaime Garcia, Brandon Belt.
Well, Belt, you know, it's funny because I know we had talking about some sell high, buy low guys, and we've got an action-packed show here, so I know we're not getting to that. But I was going to talk about Belt as a potential sell high, even though, you know, I think his ownership rate is probably, it's certainly.
It would have to be a deep league because it's only 69%.
I'm listening. I have him in a 16-team league. Go for, you know, blow me away, Al.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be super deep, but I'm just trying to say I don't think he's over-owned, but I just think in the leagues where he is owned that and actually there is a deep league where I have him, and I got a couple inquiries yesterday, and I'm thinking, maybe this is a good idea because I don't know that his value is ever going to be as high as it is right now.
Well, who would you trade him for? Let me take a look at the first base rankings and see where you have Brandon Belt. Well, you have him pretty low. You have Mike Napoli ahead of him, Steve Pierce, Adam Lind, Brandon Moss, Mark Trumbo. You know, maybe if you believe in Brandon Moss, that's pretty doable.
You know, what's funny is I had that opportunity, so I need to move Moss down.
Okay.
And I probably need to move Belt up a little.
You have Teixeira.
But yeah, I would shoot a little higher than Brandon Moss.
You have Teixeira and Chris Carter ahead of him.
Chris Carter. Yeah. I could see doing that.
Chris Carter's in my dropper stash segment. And, I know you're waiting for the big stretch with Chris Carter, but gosh, he's been terrible.
I wonder, I had this thought when I was writing the prospects column, because John Singleton has been killing it at AAA. And obviously, he's in the majors most of last season, so it's, you'd think they'd wanna, if he's showing signs he's ready, they'd wanna get him up, but where do they play him? At some point, obviously the Astros are contenders. They probably know as well as anyone that Carter is eventually going to get hot and probably end up with numbers close to where he had last year. But in the meantime, he's not helping them win games. At what point do they just say it's not worth the wait and put Singleton in instead? I think it could reach that point eventually.
All right. More on Carter in a moment. More most added. We have Michael Franco, number 9. He's 59% owned. Logan Forsythe is 50% owned. He's number 10. Dexter Fowler up to 82% owned. Tsuyoshi Wada is number 12. Yunel Escobar, Nathan Carnes, Danny Espinosa, AJ Ramos, Sean Tolleson. Any thoughts?
Well, I can't say I've been adding any of these guys with the exception of Tolleson. But I could see a scenario where I added Tsuyoshi Wada because I do think he's going to be fairly reliable, and I do think starting pitcher is pretty ugly after the top 60 or so. Fowler I thought was underowned for a while, but now he's up to 82%, so you may have missed your chance to get him. And then there was one other guy I wanted to mention. Oh, Michael Franco. I think he struck out only, I don't know if
I know
yesterday's game into these numbers, but I think he struck out, I'll just look it up. Three times.
I was going to make you guess.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. 3 walks, 3 strikeouts.
That's really encouraging to me because last year in the minors, he was a power hitter who didn't strike out as much as you'd think a power hitter should. And then he came up last year and just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So, the fact that he's performing more like his minor league self now, early in his major league stint, I think is a good indication that it's going to translate a little better.
Would you rather have Jung Ho Kang or Michael Franco?
Well, I mean, Gong has the shortstop eligibility, so it's hard to pick against that. But if it was strictly for third base, I think I would prefer Franco.
I'd rather go Gong.
Who do you like better rest of season, A-Rod or Franco or Gong?
A-Rod.
Yeah, A-Rod.
Let me see if I can find one more third baseman. Jimmy Paredes or Franco or Gong?
Paredes.
Yep, agreed.
Time for dropper stash. I give you guys who are owned in somewhere between 45 and 77% of leagues, and you tell me, oh no, then there's Cargo, who's almost universally owned. You tell me, as people make their roster moves this weekend, should you drop these guys for someone enticing, or should you stash them? Don't give up yet. Chris Carter is our first guy. No multi-hit games since April 28th, batting 161 with 5 home runs in May.
Got a stash. Got hot right around this time last year.
I don't know that it's necessary in a points league, though. He strikes out so much. Roto, I agree 100%, though.
You know when he got hot last year, and this I will never forget, July 4th. That was when, from July 4th on, Chris Carter may have been the best hitter in baseball. I'm not quite sure about that, but I would say he was definitely top five. Steven Souza, 69% owned, batting 212 in May with 8 walks and 32 strikeouts. And stash or drop Steven Souza?
Stash in a 5 outfielder league, yeah. Drop in a 3.
It's another Roto points distinction. Because I do think the power-speed combo is legit, and you need that in Roto, but the strikeouts, I'm not sure he's going to live up to my preseason expectations as the all-around player he could have been.
Or would you drop him for Michael Taylor?
No. Nope.
Would you drop him, Steven Souza, would you drop him for Delino DeShields?
No.
No, I wouldn't do that either.
Okay. Curtis Granderson, 77% owned. Drop or stash?
I don't feel like he's been that bad.
Oh, he has.
No. Where does he actually rank among outfielders? I checked earlier this week and it was top 30.
Oh, come on. Really?
In points leagues, yeah.
Oh, that absolutely shocks me. But look at the points by week that I put in the notes. 12, 11, 24, 12, 14, 23, and now 5. So 2 horrible weeks, 1 great week. 2 horrible weeks, 1 great week. Maybe horrible is a little strong.
Yeah, horrible is strong. There's no horrible weeks in there. That might be what's saving him, because he's between Charlie Blackmon and Matt Kemp in terms of points per day to date.
Well, he walks a lot, but where does he rank in Roto?
He's the 32nd outfielder in points leagues to date. I think that makes him undroppable. Well, not undroppable, but not somebody you should be looking to dump, I guess.
I think he stinks. Well, I want to see where he ranks in Roto, because it seems like his only value is that he walks a lot. He's not hitting home runs. His average is actually higher than it's probably going to end up being. It's 245.
I mean, 5 home runs at this point in the season is on pace for more than 20.
It's not great for an outfit. Okay. I'm being harsh.
Yeah.
The thing with him is that he'll hit 2 home runs, 3 home runs in a week, and then you're like, oh, I got to start Granderson. And then 11 points, 12 points, you know, bad weeks.
Look, if you're looking for Curtis Granderson back from his Yankees days, that's not going to happen. But if you're looking for a serviceable 4th or 5th outfielder, I think he's absolutely that, yeah.
So, we've got 100 players on a page in our product in the ranking, so I can't tell exactly where it ranks, but it looks like he's definitely in the top 50, maybe top 40.
Read them all, Al.
And from 1 on down?
Yeah.
You know what to do? Well.
Oh, I paste into...
Paste it into Excel, yeah, that's what I do.
I don't want to bring the...
Bring the show down to.
All right. Well, you
inside but just, information.
But just ahead of them, Trumbo, Calhoun, Rajai Davis, DeShields, DeJesus, and Ethier. Right after him, Hayward, Maben, Corey Dickerson, Bird, Gordon, Pilar, Guerrero.
All right. I'm bringing the show to a grinding halt to tell you that in Roto, Curtis Granderson is 47th. So barely.
I
thought
that pretty well. That I said.
Yeah. Good job, Al. Let's pick it up a little bit. Carlos Gonzalez, drop or stash? 10-team league.
10-team
league.
Yeah,
I mean, he's the most ownable of all these players so far. But look, in our points league, which was the 12-team league, the podcast league, Adam, you dropped Jay Bruce.
Right.
I feel like Gonzalez is a similar situation. I might be a little more patient with him because I feel like the upside is higher.
And finally, Danny Santana, 57% owned.
Yeah, you can dump him.
I agree.
Pretty much anywhere.
Well, we kind of ran out of time. One couple things I wanted to mention before we get into the pitching and hitting help for week 8. Week 8's next week, right? This is
yes.
Week 7. Steve Pierce hit a grand slam. He's 40% owned. Do you still want to stash him? 5 for his last 17.
I am stashing him in our podcast league.
Yep.
And Addison Russell is a top 8 shortstop in the last 21 days.
His strikeout rate is Javier Baez-like, though. I'm concerned about him.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. 7 walks, 39 strikeouts. Pretty crazy. Okay, then, we got about 10 minutes left. So, as always, we're pressed for time. I want to do emails and I want to do FanDuel, but first, give us some week 7 hitting help and then we'll look at the 2-star pitchers. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay, so we have a couple teams playing 8 games in week 8, thanks to a doubleheader. The White Sox and Orioles are those two teams. The White Sox have the best matchup in part because of that. The Orioles have good matchups too, but I like the Red Sox and the Indians a little more than them. I also like the Mets. Mets face nothing but right-handers next week, so that's good news for somebody like Granderson. And also Daniel Murphy's kind of a fringy sleeper for them. I like Steve Pierce with the 8-game week and the fact he's showing some very early signs of maybe picking things up again. We know how streaky he could be. I think if you can catch that on the front end, you have several weeks of big time production ahead of you. And 8-game week gives him a lot of chances, obviously. I also like, Jimmy Paredes. I still think he's being undervalued. I like Brandon Belt, actually. I'll call him a sell high, and I wouldn't disagree with that in leagues where he has much value to begin with. But I do like him this week facing nothing but right-handed pitchers. He's batting like 360 against them and actually plays against them.
So let him build up his value some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Then maybe sell him. Yeah.
Good teamwork there, guys.
You know, and the Phillies are facing nothing but right-handers also, and I don't mind, Ryan Howard or Chase Utley this week. They kind of heated up, got some help from Coors Field, but Utley in particular, I think, is just, been a victim of bad luck in the early going, showing good plate discipline here recently, and I like him. And then Denard Span, I just want to throw him out there because, he's only 79% owned. Forget started.
Wow.
He's got like a 8-game hitting streak going where they're all multiple hits. He's got an OPS over 900 on the year, and he's a base stealer on top of it. I have no idea why people are sleeping so hard on Denard Span, considering he was awesome last year. You need to get with the times. All right, some bad matchups real quick. The Mariners are the worst. Don't like the Cubs or the Angels or the Braves or the Diamondbacks. I mentioned the Cubs in there. I think their middle infield you can just forget about this week. Russell, who I'm skeptical of to begin with, and Starlin Castro, who hasn't been very good himself. The Royals play 3 games in the NL, so you might want to get Kendrys Morales out of there. The Diamondbacks I mentioned is bad matchups, and I'm not buying Yasmani Tomas. He's hot right now, but not a lot of power, so maybe don't rush him into your lineup just yet.
Al, how are the 2-star pitchers looking?
Okay. I'm kind of finding the middle ground this week. But some interesting ones based on splits. excuse me, starting with Jared Weaver. Now, you're not going to be able to get him off of waivers most likely, but he is benched in a lot of leagues, in a lot of mixed leagues. And he's got these home road splits that make sense for the type of pitcher that he is. He's going to be home against the Padres and the Tigers. I know the Tigers in particular are kind of a tough matchup, but I do like Weaver this week. So get him off your bench if you got him there. And, you know, we talked about Lincecum, I think yesterday, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And I was sort of, you know, sort of moderate in my take on him, and I've been sort of positive, saying, you know, well, he's been more of a ground ball pitcher, and he's finally doing more with less. Well, I realized this month when he's had, I think, what, 3 really good starts this month, he is stranding almost 90% of his base runners, and he's not getting the ground balls anymore. Ground ball rate this month, 44%. So if you're thinking Tim Lincecum is hot and you need to start him, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Bartolo Colon has 2 home starts against the Phillies and the Marlins. What do you think?
Yeah, I think not. Just too inconsistent compared to some of the options that seem a lot safer. And there's never, you know, a huge upside in starting Colon.
How about Wei-Yin Chen home against Houston and Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I don't love the Astros matchup. And I just generally don't like Chen that much at Camden Yards, so I would pass.
Carlos Rodon at Toronto and at Houston.
Yeah, matchups aside, just too erratic, not going deep into games. I'd pass there, too.
I'd pass on Nate Eovaldi. How about you? Kansas City at home and at Oakland?
Yeah, no, I don't know how you could, I guess maybe with two really cake matchups, you could consider them, but you could slice and dice his numbers. There's no way to use them.
All right, Chase Anderson. We're getting to guys who are owned in, you know, unowned in a lot of leagues, available in a lot of leagues. Chase Anderson, Kyle Loesch, David Phelps, Brett Anderson, Chris Tillman, Joe Kelly, Jesse Hahn. The list goes on. Tsuyoshi Wada, Rowenis Elias. I actually think there are some interesting options here if you want to take some gambles. Who do you like? If
out of the ones, and I'm sorry, I think you mentioned his name because he's in this ownership stratum. Joe Kelly, who's, I know, been really inconsistent. When he's been bad, he's been really bad. But he's, for the last two seasons, he's had reverse splits. And I think that'll help him against the Twins and the Rangers. So I actually went out and picked him up, I think, in four different leagues yesterday.
Ooh.
As a two-start stream.
Busy guy.
And so, Tsuyoshi Wada facing Washington and Kansas City. It's not a great slate when you're coming off that start, which wasn't, you know, he didn't even pitch five innings.
But. Well, and that's my concern, actually, with Wada. I don't think the matchups are terrible. Yeah, I just don't trust Wada to throw a lot of innings compared to some of the other guys. But I consider him sort of a borderline case.
And how about last one? Williams Perez or Phil Klein? Both are RP eligible? Phil Klein definitely is. I don't know about Williams Perez.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I actually don't think he is, Perez.
Okay. He's at the Dodgers and at the Giants, and Klein is at Cleveland and home against Boston.
Yeah, no, I'm passing on Perez anywhere, despite the great debut. Because I just I'm not sold. I don't know how he did it exactly, but Klein I do think has some interesting upside. Now he's got the same problem as Wada that he probably won't throw a lot of innings, but his value is still deep league anyway. But he's only owned in 1% of leagues, so in some very deep mixed leagues and in all AL leagues, he's got to be picked up.
All right then, let's read some emails. We'll finish off with FanDuel advice in a little bit, but quickly on the emails, go to the next page. From Chris Dan in Lansing, Michigan, grade the trade, Abby, Alana, and FOMO. And that would be Broad City. 10-team head-to-head points league. I gave up Carpenter and Carlos Gonzalez. I got Edwin Encarnacion. And so he gives up Carpenter and Cargo for Encarnacion. And Chris Bryant is his replacement third baseman.
I'll give that a B+. I like it. I think you definitely got the best player in the deal and a little contextual extra credit with Brian on your bench. You
that go. That takes it to a B- for me. Otherwise, I'd say it's probably a C or C+ trade in a points league, losing Carpenter.
Leonard from Ohio is in a 5x5 deep roto league. Is it better to have an underperforming, loaded with talent player or a player who seems to be bettering his norms for the year? So in this specific example, and he wrote this before yesterday's start by Tehran, it was Brett Anderson versus Julio Tehran. And I think we all would have said Tehran regardless.
Yep.
But do you guys like the underachieving guy with a lot of talent or the guy who's playing over his head a little bit, but maybe, you know, I guess we'll give him a little bit of credit. Maybe he could have a breakout or something.
Yeah, generally the more proven guy who's underachieving. But, you know, in a case where somebody's it seems to be performing over his head, rather, but there's stats that suggest that there is a breakout. There's some change in the skill set. There could be exceptions there.
Michael in the capital of Michigan. That is Detroit, right?
Lansing,
yeah.
Oh, it is?
Uh-huh.
Should be Detroit.
Lansing's more centrally located.
Write a petition here. Oh, well, yeah, that worked for Florida, right?
Yep.
Ridiculous. Stupidest capital ever. It's Tallahassee. It's in the Panhandle.
Well, you know, back when it was made the capital and – you know, there's
right.
No thinking nobody lived down here.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that, you probably knew, but the University of South Florida is nowhere near South Florida. It's in Tampa, but that was South Florida when it was created. Anyway, 12-team 5x5 head-to-head categories league with OBP. I have Reyes coming off the DL. Who do I drop? Crawford, Yelich, or Span? That's Brandon Crawford. Yelich or Span?
I would drop any Crawford out of that group.
Yep, especially since you're getting a... You know, he's not going to be your shortstop once Reyes is back.
And last one is from Reggie in Charlotte. Dear Piper, Haas, and Zeke.
No.
I don't know. Rank in the order of most influential to least when making daily lineup decisions. Lefty-righty splits? Home-away splits? Last 7 days? Last 30 days?
Ooh. Oh, you're going to get different answers depending who you ask, probably.
You go first, Scott.
I'm not even sure what my answer is yet.
I would go C, last 7 days numbers first, and I know I'm probably alone in that, but we're talking daily, and you know, I don't care about long-term and daily. I just care about what's happening right now.
And I'm choosing between A and B. This is really tough and really interesting. I'd say probably A.
A would be my second, the lefty-righty splits. I would go C, A, B, and then D, last 30 days numbers would be my last choice because that's not a near enough trend for daily.
Yeah, and I think I go A over B just because in more situations it's going to matter. Home, away, I mean, if somebody's got a strong home split but there's not a clear reason for it, I'm going to probably ignore it. But, you know, so there's going to be extreme cases where somebody's in an extreme type of venue. But lefty-righty matters pretty much all the time.
If there was an E being opposing pitcher, assume we're talking about hitters in this scenario.
Right.
E would be number one, even ahead of the last 7 days for me.
And that's not to say batter versus pitcher. That's just like, oh, well, he's facing Kershaw. I'll just sit.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, BVP is like 18th on the list.
Yeah.
And yeah, then there's BLT and DDT. All right, and how about DFS? Let's talk about who we like today. We can, of course, watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on CBSSports.com. Al, you've already made your lineup, so usually I kind of lead this segment, but I'll let you take it away.
All right. Well, thank you, Adam. Lots of great pitching today, but I like Max Scherzer the best because he's got the Phillies. He's got Sean O'Sullivan as his opposite number, so not only am I starting Scherzer, but I'm stacking Nationals wherever possible. And along those lines, I've got Danny Espinosa already in a couple of lineups at 2,900. Ian Desmond, just 3,100.
Right.
That's
a good call. I have him too, and he's cheap, and he's homered two straight games.
Last 7 days.
There you go. Something for everybody there.
Yeah.
You got the pitcher matchup. You got the recent track record. I also like a Mariner stack against Marco Estrada, who I've already trashed on the show.
We're on the same page. Kyle Seager, 2,900.
Yes.
I think he's the 15th most expensive third baseman.
Yeah. So I love Seager. Maybe he'll be my, for better or for worse guy.
Oh, you're going to get married. Yep. Going to the chapel, going to get married.
Seth Smith, maybe could be him. Only 2,300.
Wow.
And in a great, great Power Park. And then just aside from the stacking particular matchups, I like Randall Grichuk, who's on a nice power streak and been, as he usually is, hitting for an extreme fly ball rate. So he's going to face baseball's most extreme fly ball pitcher tonight in Chris Young, and Grichuk is $2,700.
I think I could put together a better lineup. I went with Greinke, who's 9,900, and there are a lot of really, really good starting pitchers today.
Scherzer's 11-7, so.
Yeah. If you want to go cheaper, though, I'm not going to do it, but Scott might. Ubaldo Jimenez at Miami, he's like 7,500 or something. Something to consider.
I'm all about in DFS playing the big, expensive, most obvious pitcher.
Well, yeah, I think you could pull it off, with Scherzer. I went Greinke, who's 9,900, and he's home against the Padres. He's great at home. The Padres can't hit right now. Will Myers is out. Kemp's slumping. Wilson Ramos, 2,900, and he just had a 19-game hitting streak end. And then I got two guys that I really need them to come around, but they're cheap, and sometimes you can take guys who are cheap because they're slumping a little bit. But actually, Jose Abreu has, I think, the longest active hitting streak. He just hasn't been great. But he's 3,500. And then Robinson Cano, $2,900, facing Marco Estrada at Toronto. Just for once, do something, Cano.
I thought about Ramos, but he generally doesn't hit for much power at home, even though he's got that great matchup. So I went Yasmani Grandal against Cashner, who's been a little homer prone.
You know, another guy you could go with if you want to go cheap there, Michael McHenry, is 4-for-11 with 2 home runs against Ryan Vogelsong. They're at Colorado. That's
Would he play?
But will he start?
Would he play?
That's the thing.
He played yesterday and had a very good game, but he's not the number one catcher.
So. Yeah, I would guess he's probably not going to play.
I would guess with the BVP, batter versus pitcher split numbers, they might actually start him.
Okay. And that said, now I've got Grandal in just my regular cash lineup. He's $2,800. But I put together a Stars and Scrubs lineup that actually does feature Chris Young as the pitcher at $6,300. Mm. Buster Posey, I actually think, is worth the $4,600 today at Colorado against Kyle Kendrick.
Yeah. If you want to spend big, Bryce Harper's 2-for-5 with two homers against Sean O'Sullivan, but he's $6,000. Crazy. Nolan Arenado, 4-for-7 with two home runs against Vogelsong. And then, my outfield, I have Charlie, these are actually fairly cheap here. Charlie Blackman's 3,800. He's facing Vogelsong at home. Adam Jones is 3,400. Jones, he crushes, he's 5-for-11 with a home run against Henderson Alvarez. He's really cheap. And Angel Pagan, $2,600. Well, you think that's too small of a sample size?
I don't. Yeah. If it was 5-for-11 with 5 home runs, you'd get my attention.
But even if he goes 2-for-4, you know, probably score a run, maybe he'll get a double.
Sure, and he may do that.
He's
only 3,400. That's the reason why he's going to do that.
He's only 3,400. And Alvarez pitched very poorly. Like, Adam Jones is not going to be 3,400 most of the year.
Oh, no. I think he's a great start.
Just not for that reason.
I'm buying into it a little bit more. I really am. I think, of all the splits, like, that one's kind of been the most reliable for me.
But is 5-for-11 with one home run?
You know what, Scotty?
Is that the one that's paid off, or is it more impressive than that? Because that's not impressive to me.
It is. That's pretty impressive to me. But it is mostly the fact that Jones is $3,400.
Yeah.
It's a great reason to get him in the lineup.
He won't be that. Like you said, it's a rare day when he's that cheap.
All right, guys. We went long. And we got to do another podcast right now as Chris Towers is going to come in and we're going to mailbag it up. So, Al, Scott, thank you. Have a great weekend. And I will talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Yeah, have a good one, Al.
See you.